Also in studio, she tippy-toed in during that song. Clare-based GP Maura Finn, thanks indeed for coming in, Maura. I know you did a series on the stages of pregnancy with Miriam during the summer. We're looking at a male issue today, prostate, and listeners, still maybe time to give us one or two questions on 51551. Talk to me about the prostate.
Okay.
It's man stuff.
Gender balance here, yeah. The prostate is it's just a small muscular gland that produces fluid to help transport the semen. Sperm, and it's vital for reproduction, but not necessarily vital for health. Otherwise, that's the wrong way to put that. But I think you know what I mean. It surrounds the urethra, which is the little tube that comes from the bladder. So if it enlarges, it causes a constriction of the urethra, so you can have trouble passing water, mm-hmm. and it can actually push against the bladder, which can mean that you can't store as much urine. It's very, very common for it to enlarge, and actually we usually kind of say from the age of about 40 onwards it will enlarge, and it's a normal progression of the prostate. But however, if it causes if it enlarges a lot, it can cause what's called benign hyperplastic prostate, which is actually where it causes pressure symptoms, or the more serious complication, which is prostate cancer. So they're the two things that most often happen with it. And most men will experience some symptoms with their prostate as they age, and they need to be really aware what kind of symptoms are related to prostate, because sometimes I think men aren't quite as au fait with the symptoms as they should be. Mm-hmm. And they're primarily urinary symptoms. Men don't tend to have urinary symptoms for any other reason other than prostate. It's quite unusual for men to have urinary tract infections, for instance. They can develop urinary tract infections. It can be related to sexually transmitted diseases and stuff. But most often, if you have a urinary symptom, it's related to your prostate.
Older listeners might remember Eamon Kelly. I wouldn't expect you to. He was the Shanachie, and he used to occasionally refer to people, men with a frequency.
A frequency. That's the right thing to say.
Getting out of bed several times at night. Now, what's the most common prostate symptom got to do with that?
You see, because the prostate is enlarging and it's pushing on your bladder and pushing on your urinary, the tube coming from your bladder. So the frequency is because your bladder can't hold as much volume. Mm-hmm. Getting out of bed at night is called nocturia. And if you're getting up and down several times during the night, I think most men consider it a normality of age, but if it's interfering with your quality of life, you should actually have it checked. And actually, to be honest, you should have it checked anyway, but even if it's something that you think is normal, because it's either one of the other. It's either this benign condition or it is prostate cancer.
Okay, if it's not prostate cancer and it is affecting your sleep and your quality of life, what are your options?
Well, what are your options are, first of all, do the simple things. Make sure you're diagnosed first and make sure you have a complete understanding of what your problem is. But then you restrict your fluid intake, you know, especially going to, you know, from 6 o'clock in the evening. Avoid coffee, avoid smoking, avoid things that irritate your bladder. And basically, you look at other medications you might be on too. If people are on diuretic medication, it actually makes you pee. So, you know, you mm-hmm. look at the whole picture there. But primarily what you do is you attend your doctor and you say, I have these symptoms, and you will have a full diagnostic workup. And then it will be determined whether it's benign or whether it's cancer.
Right. And then there's medication you can take too.
If it is a benign condition, there's two types of medication primarily. One of them relaxes the muscles of the bladder, and actually, so it stops that need to go. So it's actually quite good and it works straight away. The other one actually shrinks the prostate and it works on the hormonal level. It takes longer to work, but it has a more long-term effect. And we often use combined drugs as well. And in severe situations where somebody, say, for instance, has developed urinary retention, where they can't actually pee, which is very uncomfortable for them, and they have to go into A&E and have a catheter put in to relieve the symptoms, if that happens and if their symptoms are severe, we actually sometimes go for surgical treatment of benign conditions.
There's a thing called a TURP.
That's exactly right, yeah. Which is, it's basically a little probe or scope being put up into your urethra through your penis, and it takes out the inner layers of the prostate and flushes it through, so that the prostate is actually, the bits that were pushing on the tube from the bladder are actually taken away. So pressing, the swelling is gone. And that's done lots of different ways now. There's laser treatments, ablation treatments. There's lots of refined treatments. But essentially it is about peeling away the inside bit of the prostate.
Is it hollowing it out or coring it out?
Hollowing it out is exactly what it is, mm-hmm. actually.
And what are the implications of that? I mean, how does it affect your quality of life?
Well, I mean, hopefully it should improve your quality of life. However, after any prostate surgery, there is a possible risk of urinary tract infections, bleeding, other things like that. But erectile dysfunction is a thing that some men will suffer afterwards.
And how does it affect fertility?
Fertility is affected because your prostate is no longer there. If it's gone completely, if you've had a full prostatectomy, that will affect your fertility because, like I said in the beginning, the fluid that the prostate produces is there to actually protect the sperm. But more importantly, maybe, not more importantly, but one of the other aspects is that it actually affects your ability to have an erection, and erectile dysfunction can be a problem with any prostate surgery.
Yeah, prostate cancer.
Prostate cancer, unfortunately, it's incredibly common. It's the most common cancer outside of skin cancer. I think there's been a move recently, a lot of kind of information out there about it, and there needs to be more. We might be more aware of female cancers, but prostate cancer is very common, and men need to be aware of the symptoms. And they are these urinary symptoms primarily. We say that about 70% of 70-year-old men will have prostate cancer. Now, the good news is that it is very often very slow-growing, and not very aggressive cancer, so men will often die with it as opposed to from it.
Okay, now some of the questions from our listeners. My PSA has gone up from 5.1 to 8.6 in the last year. I had a biopsy 2 years ago. It was negative on 14 samples. I have an appointment in October. Should I be worried?
Don't be worried. That's exactly what you should be doing, is having your repeat appointment. And that's probably you're being surveyed, watched and waited. It's called watchful waiting and active surveillance. A PSA above 4 is considered possibly a sign of cancer, but it can be for many, many other reasons. So that's why one of the reasons it's not a screening test in itself, because other things can put it up. So he needs to have a digital rectal exam. He needs to have a biopsy. He needs to probably have scanning done.
And how often should men have that digital exam?
Really, from the age of, first of all, primarily if you're symptomatic, any symptoms, no matter what your age, you really should have that test with the PSA and a full checkup. But from the age of 40 onwards, your prostate does begin to enlarge. So really, you should maybe be planning to have an examination every couple of years.
Right, every, say, 2 years.
Yeah. And from 50 more frequently.
Yeah, I suffer, says another listener, from benign enlarged prostate, and I'm taking one Cambodor daily. Am I more likely to develop prostate cancer, and how often should I get the bloods checked?
You're not more likely to develop prostate cancer, but the thing is that you know you have prostate symptoms, so you might miss it if you don't get the bloods checked. The drug you're on is a combination drug, which is of the two I was talking about, so your symptoms should be better, but unless you've had your prostate removed, you can't rule out the possibility of prostate cancer.
Yeah, and that PSA test, how reliable is that? Because again, that's debated, isn't it?
It is debated a lot. It's reliable in that if it is raised, you have to investigate why, but it can be raised for a number of different reasons. Even if you've had sex within 2 days before you've had the test done, it will be high. If you have an infection, if you've have had a previous procedure, so it can't be trusted by itself. That's why for diagnosis we need all of the symptoms, the exam and the PSA.
Maura, thank you so much indeed for coming in. Maura Finn, GP there.